Hey, we're glad that you're back with us here on the Doorway to the Supernatural. We're going to wrap up on how to get a new spirit, or how to come to the place of ruling your spirit, and how you can really get this stuff out of you and, you know, get transformed. Because it's most of spiritual activity in Christians' lives are do not represent the spirit that they have been infused with.
Yeah.
Doesn't represent the sonship. So let's go to Ezekiel 18:31, Rob, and kind of look at what happens to us when we get born again.
Yeah.
18:31.
I thought I was going to 1 Corinthians 12.
Oh, well, yeah, well, we got that.
Yeah.
Let me see.
18:31.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 31. All go right. Ahead.
Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel?
Interesting words.
Yeah. Yeah.
You make a new heart. So, this. The heart condition of a believer is solely upon you. It is your responsibility. It is your investment. If you want to be doomed and die, be separated from God, not only in this life, from His promises, from fellowship, but in eternity, then all you have to do is just let your spirit run crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all you got. If this means anything, what did it say? Cast away from you all your transgressions. In other words, that there can be sins that we've done and we can get washed in them.
Yeah.
But if we have a spirit that refused to be governed by God and we have not gained rule over, He will create sinful natures. Remember, we put off the flesh of the filth of the flesh and of the spirit. There are spiritual sins. And one of the spiritual sins that people do is allow their spirit to go unruled, unchecked.
Yeah.
And so then it says, and make you a new heart and a new spirit.
Yeah.
That is our job.
Yeah.
We have to create that. And God has put a new spirit in us.
Yeah.
And it is desirous to do so. But there is that conflict.
Yeah, Ezekiel 36, it said, I'll give you a new
heart. Yeah, go to 36.
Yeah.
Tells that there will be a new heart in us.
36, right.
Yeah, okay.
A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them.
Now, read verse 25.
Yeah. 25 says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you.
That is the same scenario, the filth of the flesh, and the filth of the spirit.
Exactly.
Idols had to do with the focus of
the
human spirit and the heart.
Yeah.
And so here God says, look, you're going to get clean from that kind of stuff. But when we get clean, we have to remodel, garnish our households.
Yeah.
Or Matthew 12th chapter comes in.
Yeah.
And that's going to come back in the worst state.
Yeah.
You know, I preach a message that the doctrine of worsening, which is a true doctrine, that if, you know, you turn back and become a backslider after knowing the truth. Jesus said, it's better for you to never know me than to have known me and departed.
Yeah.
So much for once saved, always saved. But when they turn, they're like the dog going back to the vomit and the hog back to the wallow, the sow. So we understand that there is a state of worsening.
Yeah.
And that is a life without judgment and without rule of your spirit.
Yeah.
Christians think that when they get saved, well, they're still allowed to do this and this, and you know, you go to people's houses and they talk to you, or they tell you behind the scenes, well, you know, man, my dad really gets mad and stuff. But it never manifests in church, and it doesn't manifest when you're on visitation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that tells me that it's controllable.
Yeah.
That tells me it could be changed. Yeah. And that tells me you're just too lazy to change it, and you get endorphin feelings when you dominate other people and incite fear and confusion.
Yeah.
And that's, you could say spirit angry. It's really not. It is a spirit, but it doesn't mean you're possessed of. You just can't get it cast out of you.
Exactly.
You're going to have to get yourself a new heart.
Yeah.
And so it says God's going to give us that. So the human spirit is here, but it's dominated by a spirit that has been either given by God or a spirit that has been picked up by somebody.
Yeah.
And then that spirit is in conflict. And if this spirit tries to go up, if this spirit is ruling itself, guess what it won't do?
Yeah.
Your tongue will be out of whack.
Yeah.
And you'll automatically grieve, press down this spirit, recreated spirit, as well as the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't rule your tongue, remember that no man can control the tongue. Well, I understand that, but the spirit of man can.
Yes.
The spirit of man is far greater than his natural abilities.
Yeah.
And so let's go to Ephesians 4:17. And this will kind of just tell us that it is our job to put it off and so forth.
Yeah. 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ.
There we see that we are to put it off.
Yeah.
And we also see that we henceforth should not walk as other Gentiles.
Yeah.
Now, what spirit does a Gentile have? It has a spirit of rebellion that is found in Ephesians, third chapter? I think it's Ephesians 3 that speaks to us. Or Ephesians, which one is it? 3 or Ephesians, where are you? 2, where says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin.
Yeah.
Wherein, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, spirit of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, we have to take rule over that. And we have to put it out of its place of rule. Now, here it tells us that we are supposed to do it. It tells us we are not to walk like them, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. This is probably right here why lots of Christians don't live in an abundant life.
Yeah.
Is because they have spirits that are stopping. They have spirits that they've not taken rule of. They say, well, why do I always reject that? Why do I hate to hear that verse?
Yeah.
Why don't I, can't I follow something through? Why do I get started and stop?
Yeah.
You know, those are spiritual issues. And it's not, some people say, oh, well, you just, you know, turn over a new leaf. Listen, the new birth is not a new leaf.
Yeah.
The new birth is not just, well, I'm going to change my ways. No, that is absolutely not.
You're a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Yes, we are absolutely something that is never existed before.
Yeah, exactly.
And we are a new creature, and we cannot allow that old spirit that has ruled and had free reign in our life when we were like Gentiles.
Yeah.
Now we are gaining knowledge, and now we know this is not God.
Yeah.
And so now we have to incorporate the fruits that stop the contention between the flesh and the Holy Ghost.
That's good.
That keep us from doing what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
So we have got to take rule over that, and we do it by learning, getting an understanding that, first of all, you know what? Well, this is just the way that I am. once a knucklehead doesn't mean always a knucklehead.
Exactly.
Look, I had a hardness of heart. You can't just say, well, that's just the way I am. I'm just hardened. Yeah. I just like to cuss and fuss. And, you know, God understands I'm going to heaven. No, you ain't going to heaven. You might see heaven up through the flames and all that. You might see your wife there, your kids there, your grandparents. You see me there. If I remember, but you cannot live in sin, be alienated from the life, not only the life of God, now the eternal life, because of the ignorance of you, because you don't understand or you don't apply.
Exactly.
You have to search the scripture. You got to prove yourself a workman that is not ashamed, so that you can be productive in every good work, and that you can be victorious, and that you can deliver yourself out of the snare of the devil, because he takes you at his will. Why does he take you at his will? Because there is no fortitude of the rulership of the recreated spirit.
Yeah, that's powerful, because, you know, Paul, even writing his letter, he opens up with that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's where the church misses it.
We're not
growing in the knowledge of Jesus.
Yeah, we have to grow.
Yeah.
So
many, I think, try and strive in their own human effort and will to make themselves better.
Yes.
Without leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit that's available. You know, we're new creations in Christ.
We have to use our faith with every promise, every measure of grace, every discovery of grace. If I was trying to overcome a problem that was connected to some part of my old man, I wouldn't just say, well, you know, I just need to be more diligent. I just need to get more consistent. That means that Christianity is subject to human effort.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is absolutely not subject to human effort. Human effort fails.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So, but it does tell us that when we're born again, we can resist the devil.
Exactly.
We cannot give him place. So if I was, I'll just use a real, let's say that I smoked cigarettes and had a habit. I've been saved 10 years or 1 year, 2 years, 7 seconds or whatever it was. And I was saying, oh, you know, I know this is wrong, but I just can't stop.
Yeah.
Well, the last thing I'd do is start slapping patches over me, because I don't think there's enough patches out there to get me off cigarettes if I was on them.
Yeah.
But when I was on them, they wasn't enough. Yeah. Look, I mean, you're dying. You're killing yourself. I know. You have a smoking lounge. Come on. I mean, people, they can't stop.
I needed supernatural intervention.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, I would start saying, you know, God caused me to be an overcomer, or I am more than a conqueror. I would start saying, God, I thank you. I have conquered the smoking habit by the grace of God. I have conquered the smoking habit. Jesus has given me victory in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the living of our faith, the manifestation, the showing, the expression, the breaking forth of the great light of the gospel is done by us acknowledging every good thing that is in us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So I would start putting faith in my life. And Nicorette or whatever it is, you know, you can chew, you can patch, you can do whatever you want. You can light up a vapor. I think that's what they're called. You know, now they have a smokeless death chamber. I mean, a tobacco-less death chamber. You can kill yourself in a room with other people. And, you know, but that kind of stuff cannot be overcome. It has to be overcome by faith.
Yes.
The Bible says by grace.
Through faith.
Through faith, are you
saved?
Saved.
Yeah.
Saved. What does saved mean? Delivered. Made whole.
Yeah.
Healed. Prosperous.
Exactly.
Doesn't just mean you're redeemed from hell. It means you have been redeemed from every effect that sin brought into the world.
Exactly.
And if you don't mix faith with grace, then you're not going to be saved in any other way except from your eternal sin.
Yeah,
which is great. I mean, that's what I'm headed for.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just don't want to be bound while I'm here on earth.
There's far more freedom to experience and walk in and live in and have faith for than we ever realize.
Absolutely.
And I think of Philippians, Paul tells the Philippian church, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The next verse is, for it's God who works in you both the will and the work to do.
Yeah, we are in partnership. We're in partnership.
There's this cooperation.
Yes.
Synergistic, you know, power that, that
God provides salvation. Man has to incorporate, receive it.
Yeah.
Don't have to obtain it, because Christianity is not the great work and not the great obtaining.
Yeah.
It is the great acceptance.
Exactly.
Salvation has been given, but we have to accept Christ.
Exactly.
And so it is the act of faith. And anything without faith is going to lead right back to bondage.
Yeah.
To bondage.
You know, Pastor, I think too, the grace, you know, it's a scary word for a lot of Christians, but grace not only forgives us for our sin, but it gives us power to overcome sin.
No,
the law of sin and death has been destroyed. It's broken.
Absolutely. We are not just born of the Spirit. We are empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in your body.
Yeah.
He will mortify the deeds of the flesh.
Exactly.
And so, but we have to use our faith in that area.
In conjunction with his power.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're not in it by ourselves.
No.
But we have to get this and put on this, who, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, will work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ.
Yes.
If you've been taught with him the truth that is in Jesus, then if we go down to, well, we'll just continue reading. Verse 22 says, and that you put off. That's you. That ain't God. And that God drags off of you. No, you got to put it off concerning the former conversation or way of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the recreated spirit right down here.
Yeah.
And then that spirit of the old man right up here.
Yeah.
See, this is dead. This is dead. The devil does not operate out of the spirit of the man. He operates out of the soul of the man. Lust of the flesh, lust of the mind, pride of life. So here is where he's dominated. That spirit of rebellion rules right out of here. But the recreated spirit is here. And if that disconnect is not there by the renewing of the mind, by the exercising of faith, by the receiving of grace, by the transformation of our mindset, having it renewed, then we cannot put off that old rulership. We will be dominated by, and that suppresses the recreated spirit.
Yeah.
And if you look at verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That we put on. That means that, like, goes right back to verse 17 or 18. We put off.
Same we have to we put something this jacket on. To put it on.
Yeah. You don't put another jacket on over your one jacket. You know, that's just plain weird. and then James 1:19. Let's go to James 1:19. I really want to get this kind of wrapped up today, Rob. I hate to push. And sometimes these things are not talked about, and you know, and people think that if you are, well, you're just, if you're condemned, then I'd be, you know, man, I'm telling you, Jiminy, praise God, people need to, we need to put our britches on. We are soldiers of the cross.
Yeah.
We need to quit being offended.
That's right.
We need to be, quit lying around waiting to be offended.
I think the problem, holiness is a bad word in the church.
Oh,
you know.
Hallelujah. Holiness is a great word. It's part of your identity. That's who you are. You're holy before the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're perfecting that, working on that. But we as Christians, Rob, I really, the whole church system seems to have tried to adapt itself to the weakest factor in the church.
Of the church.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we don't say anything that would offend this. Well, you know, we don't want to speak in tongues that'll offend somebody. That's not what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Don't add to it. You know, your life's going to be miserable. No, you, the Bible didn't say that.
Yeah.
But churches say that. Well, you know, we don't want to cause confusion. Then tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
But we don't throw God out and bring the weak people in.
Yeah.
And so But the church has become so conducive to weak Christianity that, you know, we always talk about, you know, if you're hurt today, oh, my word, you know what? I've never in my life that I know of got up and said, honey, I'm just hurt today. Are you kidding me? Get up. I don't go around whining because somebody talked about me. My wife talks about me. I hear her telling people my shortcomings. Oh, yeah, pastor does that. I'm thinking, just tell the world. I don't want to tell no one. But I don't just say, well, that's it. Honey, you hurt me. She said, shut up. I'll give you something to hurt about. You know, we have to grow up. We are not babies. Stop being so worldly minded that you can't even preserve yourself. I'm telling you, you don't have enough hate in you, nor does the devil to get me to be offended or to stop loving people.
Amen. Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, it doesn't matter tribulation, principality, power, life, death, it doesn't matter what comes. I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
And I love people enough, they can do whatever they want to do.
It's not as if Jesus didn't tell us what was going to happen. He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you.
Absolutely.
And
Paul said, look, I told you tribulation was coming.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it came to pass.
Yeah.
I am the prophet of God. And so we need to get strong. I'm telling you, if you think that, you know, you living in this wishy-washy world and, you know, hey, you're okay, well, you wait till the fire's turned up.
Yeah.
You wait till tribulation really starts. You wait till they start threatening your family, your life, your existence, your well-being for not taking the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, well, you know, well, God understands my heart. He sure does.
But there,
you're going to fry. You ain't going to fly.
Yeah. He knows your heart's desperately wicked.
Yes.
You know, I think, Pastor, too, people always talk about, I'll die for Christ. Well, you can't even live for Christ, right?
Yeah.
Now. How are you going to die for him? You can't even live for him.
That's probably an important fact. Absolutely. I told Phyllis, honey, if I had 1,000 arms, I hugged you to death. She said, it'd be nice if you practiced those too.
There you go.
And,
yeah.
Just use those two, darn. Right. That's about all I can handle. You don't need 1,000 of them. So, but we as Christians have got to get tough, because it's this spirit that is at work in us that we have to pull, and that spirit causes every way of man to be right.
Yeah.
And if you don't take control of that, that spirit will rule you. It'll blind you. It'll judge you. It'll deceive you, and it'll allow wickedness to bring forth.
Amen.
Okay, in James 1:19 it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." For the wrath of man, that word wrath means the emotional reactions of a man, does not allow the work of righteousness to prevail, or what God has empowered you to do, to come clean. Then it says, wherefore, because of that.
Yeah.
Really what he's saying is, if you don't get rid of this emotional wrath, this stuff right here will abound.
Yeah.
If you don't stop being emotionally moved, if you don't stop reacting emotionally to everything, look at what you are. What type of spirit is ruling you?
Yeah.
Stop. It should be love. It should be long-suffering. It should be compassion. It should be gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness.
Yeah.
Where is all that? If you have not taken rule of your spirit, then what happens is these emotional outbursts come in. You know, I'm an emotional guy. I consider myself romantic. I'm in love with my wife. I'm telling you, Jiminy, I sometimes I hug her and I say, can you just feel how much I love you? She said, no, I'm passionate about what I do.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about the gospel, but you know what? I also look at myself and make sure that these things are not happening.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't rile up and get emotional. Yeah. That is the worst thing that you can do. Even if I have to talk to somebody, have you ever heard me correct anybody?
I've heard the stories.
Okay.
I haven't experienced it yet.
Yeah, okay. But nowadays, I'm very compassionate, except when I say, look, friend, you know what? I'm done. When I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah.
In other words, that means
it's over.
You're had. Goodbye. That's when I'm done.
Yeah.
And we're building this building, and the electricians come to us and said, oh, man, we made a mistake. I said, oh, okay, what is it? I thought, we forgot a roll of wire. They said, we forgot breaker boxes. I said, wait, you forgot to figure in breaker boxes. You're building 140,000 square, and you forgot to figure in breaker boxes. I said, isn't that electric 101? Yes, Pastor, we're sorry. I said, okay, how much is it? $250,000.
Yeah, that's a little more than sorry.
Yeah. I sat there, and I said, you know what? I'm going home to have a cup of coffee. I walked out that door, and Nikki said, oh, my God, I've never seen my dad so mad in all the years he's been saved. They said, you mean he was mad? She said, buddy, he's the maddest I ever seen him get. When I'm leaving church to go have a cup of coffee, I'm fit to be tied. That was the worst she'd ever seen me in 37 years of being born again. So I'm not going to be ruled by my emotions because they get you in trouble.
Yeah.
But then it says, wherefore, because of that, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your
souls.
Deliver it from what? That old spirit?
The old, yeah.
Deliver it from that mindset? Deliver it from the ignorance? Yeah. All of that is in controlling your emotions, getting rule of your spirit, and putting this type of stuff off.
Yeah.
Now let's go to one more, and then we're going to be wrapped up is what we're going to be. Let's go to Ephesians 5:18. I just lied. I got two more scriptures after that.
All right.
Ephesians 5:18, Rob.
And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Keep going.
Yeah.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, how can we change a worldly spirit of intoxication that makes us mindless of the kingdom of God, mindless of God's rule, without fear of the repercussions?
Yeah.
We can change that type of spirit by doing something.
Yeah.
By doing just what it says here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual song, singing, making melody in your heart. Now, this is not a new thing.
No.
In 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, it says that the Spirit of God left Paul and an evil spirit come.
Yeah.
They look for David. They said, well, they're Jesse's son plays. So he played, and guess what? The evil spirit left.
Yeah.
Now, if an evil spirit can leave because of the transformation of what a man is hearing. Remember, ears, thoughts, and eyes lead directly to the human spirit.
Yeah.
So these things influence, enhance, strengthen, weaken, whatever it might be, the human spirit, thus making it to be ruled by the soul.
Exactly.
So here it tells us that we need to speak to ourselves, psalms and hymns, in of Saul's life, it was when the evil spirit came up on him, David played, and the evil spirit left him.
Yeah.
So, could we attract evil spirits by music?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Certainly. If we can attract evil spirits to our lives, then we understand that what we see, watching on TV, what we hear and all that kind of stuff, is attracting or seeding our land for the enemy.
A Lot, righteous Lot, said his soul was vexed by the things he seen and the things
absolutely.
He heard. Yeah.
Because when he saw
the
unrighteousness of his city.
Yep.
And when we think about after creating atmospheres, that's why, you know, you keep playing country and western, you know, your kids will be millionaires wanting to move into a trailer. They'd be wanting pickup trucks and hound dogs.
Yeah.
And they won't want to go to college. Stop it. And so then we have association.
Yeah.
Association is what I want to say, contagious. Mm. Spirits are contagious, and they are progressive. In other words, they start out in small workings. You know, unclean spirit goes out, man, he brings seven back. They're progressive.
Yeah.
He sows, the enemy sowed a seed.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately, that weed would have got, and it would have fell in, it would have took a bigger place in the earth, in the field. And so it is progressive. Spiritual activity is progressive. And then it is contagious. Whatever you get around, you are going to become. It is our nature to learn, to apprehend, and to apply knowledge, because Paul says, look, that which you have seen, heard, and learned of me, do. In other words, those three things, no matter where you apply them, becomes the basis of behavior. So when the Bible says Saul came down out from Samuel and he ran into the prophets, and when he ran into the prophets, Saul become another man. What did he become? He become a prophet.
He started prophesying.
And the proverb went around. Is Saul become a prophet? Well, as he ran around with them, that spirit was on him. But when he got away from them, they said, is he a prophet? No, he wasn't a prophet. But he became a new spirit, got on him, and he became the man of a king. But when he was in the presence of a prophet, he prophesied. So you're be careful who your kids are around, because they'll start mimic them. I tell this story all the time. I have some guys I like playing golf with. When I play golf, one guy, I'll come home and I'll be saying stuff. He'll say, "Hey, you played golf with so and so today, didn't you?" Say, "Well, yeah, I just, you know, we just played nine." She said, "You can tell. You know what? You better button that mouth up and get your attitude right, because we ain't living like that." I'm thinking, okay. But she knows, because that works around us. And so do those things. Know you can change them. Ask God to help you. Begin to ward off. Be able to discern the type of spirit that is functioning. And judge yourself so that you know when it is God, when it doesn't have the characteristics of God. And then what you want to do is begin to put off emotional. Stop being emotional. Stop getting so riled up about nothing. It's a crying shame that you can get mad enough to cuss in your car because some old woman that can't even see what color shoe she's got on cuts you off. And, you know, and then, so we need to put that off. Because we will be emotionally and will shut off the work of righteousness, James 1:19-20. And then we want to make sure that we keep ourselves filled, because as we do certain things, it keeps us full, enabled, empowered for a complete strength that we have. And so music and things and TV that you're watching and your kids are watching, you know, make sure they're watching good things. You know, most kids in America, even in the church, have been watching programs where men are kissing men and women are kissing women, all in the name of entertainment. Mom and dad, stop. That stuff's just trash. I don't want to see it.
It's vexing our children. It's vexing
absolutely. Praise God. Because they'll begin to think it's normal. It will adjust their attitudes. And they'll not see. You keep holding something, the Jacob syndrome. You hold something in front of people, they will adapt to it. And they will become the reflection of what they see. So, let me pray for you. Next time we come together, what are we preaching on?
Tongues.
Is it tongues?
Tongues.
Tongues and interpretation. We're going to be doing that. All right. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. God, I loose right now the discerning of spirits. I loose, God, the discerning of spirits to be activated upon people's lives. That, God, they will accompany it with judgment, and they will accompany it, God, with proving and examination. God, we want to be people that are empowered and enabled by the Holy Ghost. And, God, we want to put that old man off, and we want to be new people. Now, God, I loose that gift of discerning of spirits into their life Activate it, God. Let it work in him in dreams and visions. And God, your moving of your spirit. Open our eyes that God will know how to fight the enemy. We'll know how to transition. We'll know how to guard our children. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you.